Hello, welcome. Good morning, and welcome to worship at Providence Presbyterian Church. We are glad you're here with us on this stormy, strange morning. A special welcome to you who are visiting with us. I see you there in the back. Nice to see you today. Not the far back, the short back. Well, most of our people are not here today, including our worship band and the Ghana Choir and our special music flutist. Pastor Chris and her family are out of town. The whole congregation seems to be gone. It reminds me of that old children's game that goes, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the doors, where are the people? It's a hurricane, so they're not here. I invite you all to take out the brown pew pad and fill it out with your name and any information you'd like to leave, especially our visitors. We'd love to be in touch with you in the week to come just to welcome you some more. There are announcements on the calendar page in the bulletin. You can read about them. The deacons' meeting for this morning has been postponed. The youth leaders' meeting for this morning has been postponed. Everything has been postponed, but we'll be back. Don't worry about that. Are there other announcements this morning that need to be lifted up? Probably not. Yes, our final barbecue of the season is this Tuesday night from 6 to 8 o'clock on the front lawn of the church. It's a chance to have some great food, meet some new people, and enjoy the end of summer. This Tuesday is our last one, 6 o'clock in the morning. We remember that Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there also. This is our hope, this is our promise, and this is the reason we gather this day to worship the Lord together. Come, let us worship God. We don't need a storm to remind us that this is a world so often in chaos, some of it made by our own hands, some of it coming from we don't know where. But for our part, we turn each week to our God in prayer, confessing the part we have played in bringing about trouble in the world and in our lives. Come, Let us confess our sins to God, first in silence and then in the prayer printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. Continuing now in prayer, God of all creation, you loved us into being, yet we often flee our rightful place in your creation. We confess that we exploit the gifts you place around us and dominate the richness of the natural order. Forgive our greedy grasping. We confess our part in the devastation of our planet home, mirrored in the violence of our public discourse and the brokenness of our hearts. Forgive and restore us, O God. Nurturing God, remind us of another way to live, where our lives reflect your goodness and mercy. Come and find us. Set us right again, we pray. Amen. Let us remain seated and in a spirit of confession as we sing our song of confession, number 2055 in the small blue hymnal, You Are My Hiding Place. Friends, hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has come. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Obviously, that was not the Ghana choir. Thank you to our organist, Elena, who steps in with beautiful music nonetheless. Well, we are a praying congregation, and this is the time in our service where we pray together, lifting up joys and concerns in our lives and in our world, things that we'd like prayer for. And Abigail's joining me today just to help out a little bit. I'm wondering if there are things in your heart that you'd like to lift up in prayer this morning. Dave.
First, a joy or prayer of thanksgiving. My wife Heather has been away in Utah all month doing a fellowship in Salt Lake City, which has gone very well, so just thanksgiving for that. And also Traveling Mercies will be leaving for Copenhagen on Thursday. Heather will be presenting a paper at an international conference there, so just prayers for safe travels and for that to go well.
Thanks. Other prayers. Matt.
I have a prayer of thanksgiving. My parents rode out the storm in coastal Virginia and everything went fine. House is still there. So are they.
I pray for victims of the hurricane and for the safety of everyone in its wake.
Definitely the storm is on our minds and our hearts today. Joanne.
To have prayers for Pedro Ray's family and for whatever we can do for them.
Pedro, who's also known as Pee Wee, is the brother of Carmen, a girl from our congregation who passed away this week after a long struggle. Thanks, Joanne. The prayers. Lisa.
Just pray for my parents' church back in California. There's just a lot of turmoil going on there and sort of division, and so just want to keep them in prayer and that things will smooth out.
Thanks. Okay. Let us pray. Let's enter a time of prayer. O God of earth and sea and sky, we pray to you today. You are Lord over all creation, over all weather patterns, over all circumstances of life. You are Lord of this whole world with its peoples and nations, so often in turmoil. You are Lord over this country, our community, our church, even each one of us. Oh God, we turn to you this day, trusting in your love and your power, believing that you are greater than the things that we can perceive or see, knowing that you are drawing us closer and closer to you into a life-giving relationship where we are strengthened for the kinds of things that we face, where we are forgiven for the kinds of things that we do, where we are loved above all. Oh God, we give you thanks on this day for so many blessings in our lives, for this gathering of a few hearty souls on a Sunday morning. Lord, we pray for those in our congregation who are not able to be here today, for those especially who are on the roads or away from home. We pray for those in the southern parts of our country and up the East Coast who have been even more affected than we. We pray for victims of this storm, for those who are in terror, or in the destruction, or in the path of destruction. We give you thanks for Matt's parents who rode out the storm in Virginia. Pray for others who are still experiencing these high winds and rain. We give you thanks, O Lord, for our civil authorities, those who are in positions to make decisions about our safety and about reconstruction as it needs to happen. We pray for all those who are making decisions today, that they be wise and led by the greater good. Oh God, we do pray this day for those traveling, especially those who have come back to us, for Heather Spader, who's returned from her time away, for Dave and Heather as they take this adventure to Copenhagen. We pray you go with them and help to open their eyes once again to the beauty and diversity and broadness of your world. We pray this day also for your church. Our church here, which today is small in number yet mighty in spirit, for our national denomination as they have a meeting in Minnesota. We pray that your will would be done in that. We pray, O Lord, for the church universal in every form it takes, in every place. Pray for the church in California, the church of Lisa's parents, the turmoil there and the division, that your will might be done, that you might help her parents as they go through this difficult time. We pray this day, O Lord, with joy for those who are joyful and with tears for those who mourn. Pray for Carmen's family at the loss this week of Pedro, Pee-wee, that you would strengthen them and be with them in this time and help us to come alongside however we may. We pray for the family of Barbara Kurz, who passed on from this life into life eternal this week. May she be gathered in with the saints from this day moving forward. Oh God, we give you thanks for the cries of children, for the joy of new beginnings, and the way that you are strengthening us through this service, even today, to live lives of purpose and meaning as we head out into the world. And now we gather our hearts with those of believers around the world who pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I'd like to invite all the children in the congregation to come forward. You can come right up here on the front pew, and we'll talk for a minute.
Here's these things I have to get in the way. Okay, everybody.
The Old Testament lesson today is from Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. In the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the river Chebar, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiachin, the word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was on him there. As I looked, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with brightness could around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the middle of the fire, something like gleaming amber. In the middle of it was something like four living creatures. This was their appearance. They were of human form. Each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. And the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each of them moved straight ahead, without turning as they moved. As for the appearance of their faces, the four had the face of a human being, the face of a lion on the right side, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle. Such were their faces. Their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. Each moved straight ahead. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. In the middle of the living creatures, there was something that looked like burning coals of fire, like torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and lightning issued from the fire. The living creatures darted to and fro like a flash of lightning. As I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl, and the four had the same form, their construction being something like a wheel within a wheel. When they moved in any of the four directions without veering as they moved. Their rims were tall and awesome, for the rims of all four were full of eyes around. When the living creatures moved, the wheels moved beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When they moved, the others moved. When they stopped, the others stopped. And when they rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The New Testament lesson today is from John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This is the word of the Lord.
Be glorified.
Well, good morning. Lisa suggested to me that I not preach this sermon today and keep it for next week and save myself all kinds of work. We'll see what happens with that. Well, it's a strange morning, and it seems to be getting stranger as we go. Not only is Hurricane Irene thrashing the East Coast, including our city, with wind and rain, but unlike almost everybody else that we know, we're not at home cuddled up right now. We're not boarding up windows or hoarding supplies or sitting on the couch watching the Weather Channel. Instead, we've all come through the wind and the rain to be here and worship together today. Amen? Amen. But it's a strange day also, because this week we are finally wrapping up our summer sermon series called Activate. We've been looking at 8 summer activities, activities from hiking and boating to walking and running to swimming and even taking a day off. And each of these activities has had really strong connections in Scripture for us. But today it gets a little bit weird because the last activity out of the Activate series is bicycling, riding a bike. Now, if you are not a Bible scholar by training, I'll remind you that the Bible was written over a period of about 1,300 years from the 12th century BC to the 1st century of our common era. And by contrast, the bicycle was developed in Europe in the 19th century, maybe less than 200 years ago. So, to state the obvious from the outset, in case any of you were wondering, there are no bicycles in the Bible. Trust me, I looked pretty hard for them this week. No bicycles in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that the bicycle can't be a helpful image for us as we seek to understand this very strange scripture passage that we read from the prophet Isaiah, and from the familiar words of the Gospel of John. It may be that we are grasping at straws a little bit to make this connection this morning, but I'm willing to give it a try if you're up for it. And since you all came through a hurricane to be here today, I suspect that you are up for it, right? All right. As we begin, let's pray that God's word might speak to us somehow today. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let me take just a quick poll today, a show of hands. How many of you know how to ride a bike? How many of you know how to ride a bicycle? Most everybody, I'm not surprised. Bicycles are ridden all around the world by all different kinds of people. Almost any country you visit, you will run into people riding a bike. In China, bicycles far outnumber the number of cars that are on the road, and it's the most popular means of transportation. In France, every year, highly trained athletes use futuristic bicycles to ride up and down super tall mountains. And here in the U.S., it's almost a rite of passage that parents should teach their children how to ride a bike. Hopefully, they teach their children how to wear a helmet as well, as the inevitable bumps and bruises that come along with that, too. Well, the beauty of a bicycle is in its simplicity. When you look at a bike, you almost intrinsically or instinctively know how it works. There are handlebars, that's where your hands go. There's a seat, that's where you sit. There are pedals, that's where you put your feet. It's so easy to understand. And once you learn how to ride a bike, you never forget. It becomes the most natural thing you can do. You just get on and go. So a bicycle is simple. And yet, I wonder how many of us can really explain exactly what makes a bike go. Why is it that simply pushing pedals ought to keep a two-wheeled vehicle upright and not tipping over? I wonder who can explain exactly why shifting gears makes it so much easier to go up a hill or down. Or maybe why does it feel so good to ride a bike on a sunny day with the wind blowing in your face? Why does bike riding bring such joy and delight to our children? Bicycles are simple. And yet there is something about them that is also mysterious as well, something that can't be easily explained or understood. In theological terms, we might use words like immanent and transcendent. Immanent is something that is easily understood or relatable. Transcendent is something that is beyond understanding, something more than we can grasp. These are the two words that I want to use this morning and maybe reintroduce to you. Immanent and transcendent. They are two words to talk about a bicycle, but more than that, they are two words that we use to talk about God. This is a long way around of getting to what I really want to talk about, which is God. These are words that can be used to describe our God, immanent and transcendent. The very nature of who God is includes both of these parts, and our two scripture passages get at this in different ways. The first passage we have this morning is from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was situated among a group of exiles, those who had been kicked out of Jerusalem when it was taken over by the Babylonians. And they've gone off into exile far away from anyone who's able to help them. And then one day, it says that the skies opened up and Ezekiel has a vision from God. The vision that Ezekiel has is strange stuff indeed. He says he sees a wind, a stormy wind that comes down from the north with clouds that are glowing bright. And inside the cloud, he says there is something like living creatures, and that each of these creatures has four faces and four wings and feet that are like a calf's foot, and that the color of these creatures was like bronze. Are you picturing this? And then along with the wings, these creatures had hands, and their multiple faces looked like a human, an ox, a lion, and an eagle. And not only that, but these creatures had wheels underneath them. He says it was like a wheel within a wheel. Wheels that could move in any direction. And that the rims of this wheel was full of eyes. So there were eyeballs all around the outside of the rim. If you Google for this image, you'll have all kinds of artists' renditions of what this must look like. You will also find a number of pages devoted to UFO sightings in the Bible. This is apparently one of them. The vision, strange as it is a picture of God's transcendent glory. There's that word again, transcendent. It's not something that we can fully grasp or get. It's beyond our human understanding. Our inability to know exactly what God is like is highlighted, and maybe you heard it here in the scripture. It's highlighted in the way Ezekiel again and again uses the phrase, was something like. He says that it was something like a creature, something like the color of bronze, something like a wheel within a wheel. Not that exactly, but something like it. The closest we can get to describing the glory and the things of God sometimes is mere analogy. We can't understand the thing itself. God is this way, transcendent, above our understanding, more than we can grasp, greater than we know. So all that we can say about God is ultimately incomplete. Try as we might, as many Bible studies as we attend and worship services we are a part of, we can never fully know all of who God is, because God is transcendent. Bible scholars have called this image of this thing we're talking about today a throne chariot vision. A throne chariot vision. Throne and chariot. The throne signifies God's sovereignty, majesty, and power. But it's also very mobile. That's where the chariot comes in. This is a picture of God's mobility. It has wings, it can fly, it's got feet to walk, it's got wheels that can go in any different direction. So God is not limited to one single place, or geographically, as if God were a local deity. And this is really good news, you see, to those people who were there with Ezekiel in the time of that vision. Because it was something they needed to hear. They had been thinking about God in very small, very localized terms, as if God was their local God, the God of their neighborhood only. It's like saying God is the God of Eastside, but not downtown, or of Johnson and Wales, but not of Brown University. It's a very thin slice, a very small God. Now, I was trying to find some help, some other words to describe what this word transcendent is all about. If this God can move in all directions and is larger than we understand, how do we understand transcendence, and why is that important for us? So I looked online at the Webster's Online Dictionary, and you know, if you were to look this up, you'd find the Webster's Online Dictionary has the words and the definitions. But as you scroll down, there's a function where you can now leave a message after the word you find. It asks you this question: what made you think of this word today? Where did you hear it? Why did you look it up? And you're able to leave a comment, and the comments are linked to your Facebook profile. This is amazing. So you comment, and then it links to your picture from your Facebook profile. People can give you a thumbs up and say they like it, or they can make another comment. I'm not exactly sure why they do this, but that's how it is. And so I was scrolling down through these messages that people had left about why they looked up the word transcendent. And then one caught me. It was a young woman. From her Facebook photo, it looked like she was in her mid-20s, no older than 25 or 26. And she wrote just three words to answer this question: why did you look up the word transcendent? She said, "My father died. My father died." It's in times like these that we need to know that God is transcendent, that God is powerful, that God holds this whole world with his joy and its tears in the palm of God's hand, that God is big enough to take on our struggles and our pain, that God is great enough to heal our hearts, to meet our needs, and to answer our prayers. God is transcendent, and that's good news for us today, any of us who need a power greater than ourselves, one who can love us in a mysterious way we can never fully understand, more deeply than human love, one who is so full of justice that it's beyond human justice, so merciful that we can't comprehend what exactly this means. This is a transcendent God who goes beyond our boundaries, beyond what we're capable of understanding. So think of it this way. A transcendent God is important to us. It's out there, it's up there, it's high above and lofty. Ultimately, it is so good, even if we don't quite get it. But how do we interact with a God like that? A love like that? Love divine, all loves excelling, as the old hymn has it. It's like a bicycle. The idea of a bicycle, its simplicity and beauty, the possibilities that it holds, all the powerful things it can do, riding up and down mountains, bringing us great distances, transporting large numbers of people across the world. And yet, to really experience what it is all about, we have to get on and ride a bicycle, don't we? To really understand the beauty and power and possibility of a bicycle, we need to sit down on its seat, put our hands on its handles and brakes, put our feet in the pedals, and go. God is much the same way. God cannot be experienced fully for us as just an idea or a transcendent reality far beyond. Instead, God needs to be made known, to come close somehow. And that's what God did in Jesus Christ. God chose to come down from lofty grandeur, from glorious heaven, and enter our world, enter our lives, walk and talk among us in the person of Jesus. So yes, I'm saying God is like a bike, but don't quote me on that, because the point is that God is meant to be experienced as well as admired. God is powerful and great, and yet knowable and close. God is transcendent and imminent. God is cosmic and close. John's Gospel, which we read together today, says it best. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word, the eternal Word of God, this notion of something we can't quite get, became flesh, took on a body, and came down and lived among us. So there you have it. A theological reflection for you this week, an interpretation of some difficult scripture, and maybe something that you can even take with you as you go. The beauty and power, the idea of a bicycle. but also the invitation to experience what that's really like. That's what we do week by week when we gather in worship, when we pray and share together, when we reach out in mission, when we chase a baby under the pew, babysitting for somebody next to us. This is Jesus, the one who came down from glory, from great distance away, and came to dwell among us, to dwell with you. May this be good news for you as you go out into the world this week. Amen. Will you join me as we continue in worship by standing to read our responsive affirmation of faith, which is printed in your bulletin? You can stand up. We ascribe glory and strength to the Lord. The voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. May the Lord give strength to his people. You may be seated. At this time, we will collect our tithes and offerings. We're not sure where the plates are for that. But Dan, there's a basket right there. I bet people could just fill that basket right up. God has given us so many blessings in our lives, and we return just a portion of those to God in our gifts of tithes and offerings today. Thank you. number 535. Now go forth into the world and the storm in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil, but support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of God's Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.